As the fighting in Iraq winds down, there comes a time to settle old scores. The Kurds in the north want to prosecute those in Saddam Hussein's regime who killed Kurds with chemical weapons. Shiites want justice for victims of mass executions and torture in the south. Families want to know what happened to critics of the regime who disappeared.
The U.S. government and human rights groups are eager to begin trials for crimes against humanity, but as NPR's Christopher Joyce reports, deciding who should try the cases may prove troublesome.
Of all the horror stories of Saddam Hussein's brutality, perhaps the most notorious involves the Anfal campaign against the Kurds in the late 1980s. Kurdish forces had been battling the government to win more autonomy in northern Iraq. Some had allied themselves with Iran in its war with Iraq. Saddam's cousin, Ali Hassan al-Majid, ordered Kurds driven from their homes in an arc of territory along the border with Iran, and he used lethal nerve agent to kill thousands who resisted, earning himself the nickname Chemical Ali. Forced displacement of populations and the use of chemical weapons violate international law. Al-Majid may never be tried, however. U.S. forces believe they killed him with a bomb. But al-Majid left behind a record of the Anfal campaign with his own voice.
The next day I went to Sulaymaniyah. At 7:30 at night we hit them with special ammunition. That was our answer. And then we started the deportations.
According to the group Human Rights Watch, that recording was made at a meeting of Ba'ath Party officials in the late 1980s. Sulaymaniyah is a Kurdish city. Special ammunition is believed to be chemical weapons. One of the first people to hear the tape is former Human Rights Watch analyst Joost Helterman.
We did show the tapes to a number of people, and they all sort of unanimously said it was Ali Hassan al-Majid from what they knew. Iraqis, like Kurds, but people we trusted.
On the tape, al-Majid recounts to fellow officers his own meetings with Kurdish leaders. And in what could become a crucial part of a war crimes investigation, al-Majid describes a conversation he had with a Kurdish leader who asked that his village be spared. This translation was provided by an Arabic speaker at Human Rights Watch.
They'd ask, will my village make it? What do you mean I can't do that? I will hit you with chemicals, so you and your people will die. I can't move a village for you. I will hit him, and I will hit him with chemicals and kill them all. Who's going to say anything? The internationals? Screw them and the internationals.
Helterman says Ba'ath Party officials kept thorough records of meetings, interrogations, and events.
There's a famous film made of the 1979 meeting of Saddam Hussein where he orders Ba'ath Party members out of the room to be executed. And the Ba'ath Party used it for Ba'ath Party meetings to show it and to basically as intimidation but also as for recruitment.
Human Rights Watch says Saddam Hussein and his regime are guilty of genocide. At a hearing this week at the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee, Rights Watch analyst Tom Malinowski said there is no lack of evidence.
We have, for example, 18 tons of documents that were seized by Kurdish rebels after the post-Gulf War uprising in 1991, which were airlifted to Washington, which contain extraordinary treasure trove of information about what happened.
And U.S. investigators in Iraq now will try to add to that trove with information on other crimes, such as the persecution of the Shiites in the south. But evidence and the accused have to be brought to a court. Where that court will be and who will run it has become a sore point. Malinowski says a court in Iraq with only Iraqi judges or Iraqi expatriates would not be credible.
A standalone international tribunal or a mixed tribunal composed of both Iraqi and international judges would be a far better option. It would enjoy tremendous legitimacy, I think, particularly if it draws its authority from the UN and many of its judges from the Arab world.
A United Nations or international court, however, has strong opponents.
I find it highly hypocritical of the international community now to start talking about their role in this process.
Sermid al-Saraf is an Iraqi-American lawyer in Los Angeles. He says international organizations such as the United Nations failed to pursue members of Saddam's regime in the past. He says international bodies such as the Hague Tribunal for War Crimes in the former Yugoslavia are too slow and too expensive. Al-Sarraf says Iraqis in an Iraqi court should judge Saddam's crimes against his own people. U.S. officials say that's the Bush administration's position as well.
The outside world may not understand that Iraq has a legal tradition that predates Saddam Hussein. And there are many jurists that take their jobs very seriously, and many have been compromised, but many have not.
Al-Sarraf is helping the State Department train some 35 expatriate Iraqi lawyers and judges. They are scheduled to go to Iraq soon to set up a judicial system and continue gathering evidence. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Washington.